tweet at TodaySOR.
Now, I'm looking at the front page of the Washington Post on my iPad, and its headline is, as economy craters, 6.6 million more jobless, Trump's crisis response short on consistency, long on blame. Suzanne Lynch joins me now. She's the Washington correspondent of the Irish Times. She's on Skype. Suzanne, yesterday, the United States also recorded its highest daily coronavirus-related death toll, 1,169 people. And it seems that there's no let up at all in the way it's spreading.
No, as predicted by the WHO, America really has become the epicenter of the crisis now. There have been 250,000 cases in the country, about a quarter of all cases worldwide. And as you said there, the numbers are increasing. And what we're seeing here in the US is that New York remains the main focus of coronavirus, the epicenter, both in New York City and in New York State. But also, we're seeing worrying developments in other parts of the country. Detroit, for example, the reports this morning of a bus driver there who had publicized the fact that he was felt not safe in his work, and he has now passed away from coronavirus. There are concerns about New Orleans in Louisiana. They have just finished their Mardi Gras celebrations there, and now they've got a high number of cases. And then Florida. Florida has got a high proportion of seniors, as senior citizens are called here, people with second homes, particularly in that state. And the Republican governor there, Ron DeSantis, had been reluctant to introduce social distancing measures, but there's been a pretty much a U-turn by him and some other governors, Governor of Georgia, for example, they have introduced just this week stay-at-home orders. But what they're trying to do now in the US is to keep that curve down in the areas that have not seen a peak. But look, New York still is remaining a major concern at this point.
The president was heavily criticised, not least by health experts, up to quite recently. But it would appear he's now let the chief advisor there, we see him in the daily news conferences, Dr. Anthony Fauci, take the lead.
Yeah, what we've seen is really an inconsistent, erratic response from Donald Trump on this. He has seesawed wildly since the first cases reported here back at the end of January in Washington State. So at the beginning of the crisis, we saw him in true form really looking for a scapegoat, blaming others. He blamed China in particular at the beginning. And then he was quite defiant, saying, you know, this will resolve itself. It will go away miraculously, he said at one point. Then he worried last week about the economy and warned that the cure should not be worse than the disease itself. But this week we've seen yet another shift by the president. And this week we have seen him, in a sense, let the medical experts like Anthony Fauci and Deborah Birx take the lead at these press briefings. And there's been a complete U-turn by the president, really. He's been talking about the fact that, you know, he was warning that America had a tough few weeks ahead of it. And he also at one point said that some of his friends and businessmen had advised him just to ride this out and think of it as the flu. But Trump himself said, well, it's not the flu. I know it's vicious. I've always known that this is not the flu. In fact, you know, it's very easy to track that. As recently as March the 9th, he had tweeted that this, you know, comparisons with the common flu and that, you know, no point shutting down the economy. Yeah. So it's been a bit of a rewriting history by the president.
Yeah, and meanwhile, it seems the stock of the vice president, Mike Pence, has risen in the way he's been handling this as the man in charge from the White House.
Yeah, it's been quite interesting. When Mike Pence was first appointed by Trump to head up this task force, there was a lot of skepticism here. Mike Pence's relationship with science has not always been very clear, and there were lots of worries about his experience, lack of experience and knowledge on this role. In saying that, he is deemed to have performed relatively well. He begins a lot of the press briefings by praising Donald Trump and his response. But then he does, as the briefings go on, seem to stick to the facts a bit more often. He doesn't engage with battles with the media. He kind of sticks to the realities around the situation. And actually, there was reporting here that one of the reasons that Donald Trump began to attend these briefings himself was that he was a bit put out that Mike Pence was getting quite a lot of publicity on this.
Yeah, but what about the nuts and bolts of fighting this battle, Suzanne? How well equipped is the United States at federal or state level with the kind of personal protective equipment that's needed, the testing equipment and so forth, and also the ventilators?
Yeah, this has been the problem, the lack of a proactive approach by Donald Trump, that there were those wasted weeks here when the coronavirus was already in the US and was spreading wildly in China and Europe. There is has been a major problem with testing from the get-go here. There have not been enough tests in the country, and there's a huge backlog now. There was another order by Donald Trump just last night. He's invoked the Defense Production Act to force other companies. He did GM last week, but now other companies have been ordered to produce masks. There is a lack of masks here in the country. There's obviously going to be a backlog on that. And there was even reporting that the White House was instructing some companies to try and send masks they were sourcing from Asia that were supposed to stay in Asia to America. And so you're seeing some sense of that scrambling behind the scenes. And then ventilators are a huge problem. The governor of New York, Andrew Cuomo, said yesterday that he believes that New York may run out of ventilators in 6 days. He has spoken about it being, it's like being on eBay betting against other states for equipment. And this is the problem here, Sean, that's so distinctive about America. We have a federal system here, which means you have the federal government led by Trump on one side, but then you have individual states. And those states, those governors have a lot of power. They have power to set education policy. They've in this and health policy. So Donald Trump has been kind of at one point blaming these governors, saying it's your own fault if you haven't sourced this equipment. But governors are saying, even though they have specific powers, that what they need is a kind of a coherent strategy from the top, that even if Donald Trump is constrained in some ways legally, for example, he would not be able to impose a quarantine in certain states, that would be the state's role. They're saying, well, if you gave us a kind of an overall policy and directed all states to do a certain thing, well, then it would be easier, because you've got the problem now, a bit like the EU, that people are going across borders, across state borders, and there's been an inconsistency in the approach of different states here.
Suzanne, thank you very much indeed for those observations. Suzanne Lynch, Irish Times, Washington correspondent, thank you.